Improving systemic, social, and environmental challenges isn't just for nonprofit agencies. Our guest is a Gender Lens impact investor who is making smart investments to impactful, innovative, and scalable African female-led and owned businesses. It's Fab Female Funder Friday on the Startup Life live show. Let's glow, everyone. Hello and welcome to the Startup Life live show. I am your host, Andy Lyons, four times founder and startup champion to founders around the world. And after raising four businesses of my own, I have a deep appreciation for what you are all walking through every single day. Oh my gosh, I'm an awe wonder of your tenacity and your resilience as you solve problems and move your business forward. And I'm especially grateful that you tuned in to the Startup Life live show. You carved out time to up your founder game because as you do better, that's right, your startup will do better. I just want to send out a huge heart-filled thanks and hug to all the U.S. service members today here in America. Thank you for all you do and have done to keep democracy thriving and our country safe. That's right, it's Veterans Day here in the U.S. So heartfelt thanks to all our veterans. A big yoo-hoo to the live viewers, yay, and the replay viewers, mwah, and the podcast listeners. I am grateful for your time and presence. Please be sure to share this episode into your feeds. Hit that like button because that way we can reach more founders around the world and help them feel less isolated and siloed. So thank you for that. And if you're tuning in from YouTube, be sure to click on that subscribe button and the notification. And to receive an alert whenever I post a new show, join the Startup Life Live meetup group. This way you get a deep dive into the guest, the background, the topic, and how this guest and our conversation can best serve you and your startup. Just a few Andy-licious announcements for everyone today. As always, hop on over to Arlen's Academy, get on her email list, and check out all the incredible free information she has to help you thrive with your startup. And there's a great organization, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's a wonderful movie, that a documentary film to help increase awareness of women getting capital for their businesses and how hard that can be. And you can donate. Just go to that link or the link in the show notes to their campaign and add some funds to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And if you are raising capital and you want to take it to the next level, want to make sure your pitch deck is in alignment with investors, please go check out Scroobius. It's human first fundraising. They help you create a pitch deck that will finally get you funding. And they also have investors who will be looking and overlooking and checking out all the founders that they help. Please use the code Andy15 to receive 15% off of first tier pricing. Okay. And then I think that's it for that. I just want to also give everybody a big hug. All of you founders, I want to remind you, be sure to reach out, ask questions, ask for help, reach out to me, reach out to the guests, show up live and ask questions to the founders that we're talking with and chatting with and hearing about how they've solved problems. They may have a great solution for you and your startup, but it's so important to surround yourself with other founders because no one knows what it's like to be going through this journey better than another founder, right? So ask for help, connect with other founders for peer support, and keep tuning in to the Startup Life live show. All right, let me introduce you to our phenomenal guest today. It's the one and only Pauline Coble. She's a Gender Lens impact investor and the founder and managing partner of She Equity, a fund providing smart investment to impactful, innovative, and scalable African female-led and owned businesses. She's also the founder and CEO of AfroProspect, a company focused on connecting African innovators with global markets. We are going to learn so much from this phenomenal guest. Hello, Pauline, and welcome to the show. Yay! The clappers, the audience growth is wild.
Hi, Andy. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here, Pauline. Where are you hailing from today?
I'm hailing from Zurich, Switzerland. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate on a Friday evening that you're here with us at the Start of Life live show. And folks tuning in, let us know where you're hailing from. And also, I want to remind folks to be sure to pop your questions and comments into the comment threads during our conversation, and we'll pull them up on the screen so everyone can learn together. And do not hesitate to amplify your brand. Share your business name, one-liner, and website URL in the comments, and we will showcase and celebrate you and your wonderful work in the world live during the show. And you never know who will be listening or watching this replay. So it's a great way to amplify your work in the world. So Pauline, you know, I love folks, Victoria Yamplowski was the one who introduced Pauline to me. And Victoria is the one who runs the Startup Station. So if you're crunching numbers and want to get better at that, I don't have the artwork right here, but go check out the Startup Station. If you need help with putting together those wonderful spreadsheets and numbers that investors like. But I was so grateful that she introduced us. And, you know, tell us a little bit about how you were called, you know, early in your life and why you were compelled to focus your extraordinary talent and skills on improving systemic, social, and economic conditions in the world with a focus on Africa.
Yeah, thanks so much again, Andy, for having me. For me, it was really actually very simple. It was because I wanted to pay it forward. I know this term is used over and over, it's overrated, but when I explain why, you would understand. So basically, I wanted to pay it forward, and I wanted to find a way to combine my passion and the purpose so I can deliver impact that allows me to feel like I'm also doing something positive in the cognition of people who helped me, you know, get where I am.
Well, and share with folks, like, you know, you came to the U.S. at what age?
Do you want to know my age? Let's say
No. But you came to the U.S. as a refugee, correct?
Yes, I came to the U.S. as a refugee. I guess the reason I was laughing is, you know, part of the story of being a refugee, you spend a lot of time in limbo, you know.
Yes.
So in essence, when I say paying it forward, it starts with me again being born in a beautiful country, Rwanda, and you know, and then suddenly, you know, we had this civil war that led to genocide, led to many people losing their lives, and led many millions becoming refugees.
Yeah.
So you would say I was one of the like one because I didn't die. I became a refugee, right? I laugh about it because you have to find the gratitude in every situation.
Absolutely. That's radical gratitude right there.
Yeah. So I became a refugee. I lost people who were very close to me that actually I depended on. And basically what happens when you become a refugee, you become a number, you know. I don't know. So we're talking right now about refugee in Ukraine. We talk about refugee
right
in many places. But I think what people don't realize is that you go from having dreams, or in my case, I was living my parents' dream, because being born in Rwanda, you live, you know, according to the dreams that parents have for you. And that was fine for me. And then suddenly you just become a number and you become a problem that everyone wants to just toss. You know, no one wants to solve it. They want to push you on the side. And so you, Monday to Sunday, they look the same. In essence, you lose hope. But luckily for me, I never lost hope. For whatever reason, I always believed like this whole situation was temporary.
Yeah.
That somehow I'm going to make it. And it's funny enough, down the road when I find my way back to school and did a lot of research, I stumbled on a saying that showed that hope is an abbreviation that says, hold on, pain is. Like, this is exactly what I did when I was in a refugee camp. Being, you know, treated as a number, being treated as someone who doesn't really have a past or a future or a story.
Yeah.
I didn't lose hope. And then fast forward, I managed to, you know, go from the refugee camp in DRC Congo and to end up in other countries. But this happened not because I was a genius or I had an amazing strategy. People helped me. People really supported me. They opened doors. Right. The whole thing that when, you know, the door closed, the window opened, that has been my life story. And fast forward, I was able to come to the U.S. to Tucson, Arizona, my other home when I'm not in Zurich. And I arrived in Tucson, Arizona in 2000 as a refugee, pretty much with nothing, and I didn't know anyone. So wow. I had to start, you know. And like, I'm super grateful for my community, my families, that's true. It's families in Tucson, Arizona, because they made it easier for me. They took me in. I start asking me questions like, what are your dreams? You're coming from a place where you're surviving, and someone asks, what are your dreams? And you're thinking like, what do you mean about my dreams? And, you know, convincing you that you can do anything you want to do. There's so many opportunities. Of course, one of the reasons I wanted to come to the U.S. was because I have heard about American Dream.
Right.
And I wanted to grab it. I wanted to be there for American Dream. But then when you arrive and you don't speak the language, you're just alone, you don't know anyone, that dream seems far away. So the community I made, the people who took me in, fast forward, I went to the University of Arizona. I did really well because of mentors. I actually graduated with straight A's. And then I was a mentor coach to apply for Fulbright. And I did to apply for the most competitive one, which is the one in the UK. And I got it. But again, this whole thing, it wasn't me. It wasn't because I was super smart. I was really supported, coached. So I went from not having my parents to do the work that they're supposed to do as parents to getting many other parents who really took me in and supported me. So at the end, basically, I went from, you know, struggling to at the end, I was started thriving and having options. So when I started having options, that's when I said I wanted to basically not just to, you know, have a career. I wanted to have a purpose-driven career because the people who got me where I am, there's no way I can pay them back. So that's what really has shaped me to go back and keep searching, what is it can I do that could also make life easier for not just one person, but more people. And that's, you know, the story that led me to She Equity in a sense.
Oh my gosh, that's a beautiful pay it forward. You had so many people show up for you, and I love how you gave them such a beautiful tribute, right? But you're right, as when you've been given such generosity through mentorship and a feeling of being welcomed and belonging, and how can we help you realize your dreams? I mean, gosh, you know, kids just and families that haven't been in refugee situations, you know, don't have that. And so you're right about not being able to pay that back. And so the best gift you can give those folks is to pay it forward. Ah, yep, I agree, Richard. We're going to do that right now. You can do anything you want to. He says, stitch that on a pillow. Absolutely. We'll just take a quick moment, everybody, and do a stitch that on a pillow. There are so many things that you said that were important, though, and especially around the mentorship that you had, and that it really gave you that sense of purpose that lights you up. And founders, this is what we all hope and dream for. And it comes in different waves, and it can have different moments of being on purpose. But Pauline, taking that and said, okay, how do I want to help the world? And I'll say a quick hello to Ruth. Hi, Ruth from Nairobi. And she's our community manager here. And she says, not just a career, but a purpose-driven career. Exactly. And here's a wonderful woman. Hi, Zanel or Zanil Abraham Matomi. Pauline Kobel. Wow. I'm an African-based founder solving the problem of access to healthcare via our startup, Welo. And everybody, you can visit welo.health. Okay. welo.health and learn how Zanel, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it Zaneli, how she is helping the world and solving the problem of access to healthcare with her startup. Everybody, go check that out. And we're cheering you on. Yay for that. Thank you. Thank you for posting that and showing us how that's done in the show. So now you're lit up and you're educated. Okay. You two Fulbright scholarships. And I know, did you live here when you went to the Kennedy School?
No. So when I went to Kennedy School, I was already working for the African Innovation Foundation. In a sense, my foundation sent me there because the foundation I worked with were focusing on catalyzing innovation across the continent. And I went to Kennedy School because while I understood what we needed to do and what made sense on the continent, I wanted to understand how in the West people look at innovation in the context of international development, because as you know, one of the challenges, most of the discussion taking place in the West about emerging markets sometimes really miss the point. So I wanted to make sure that I understand the other narrative. So when I go back as a practitioner, I'm not missing the dialogue while also informing that actually this is happening on the ground. But before we even get to that, and one of the things I wanted to mention in terms of my experience that led me here is also realizing, like, when you go through this kind of experience, you hit the rock bottom, like you can never imagine. So when you come out of it, you develop not just a resilience, but you develop a lot of skill set that actually get to serve you in the future. So I realized down the road, when I take sense of how did I get here, yes, I was coached, mentored, people opened door for me, and for sure the Fulbright stamp has done magic for me. You don't need to get into the rooms that probably will never get in. However, I realized also remembering who I am and why I'm here, how I got here, and that, you know, boot camp of many years in the refugee camp of trying to survive and getting to thriving has been basically the foundation that also have allowed me to dare to dream, to realize I can do anything now, because it was hard there.
Gosh, you know, anything any of us founders are going through, really, as arduous as it is filled with uncertainty. I mean, the mix of emotions that you had, first of all, incredible levels of high uncertainty coupled with grief and, you know, trying to process and then learn a new language and coming to a country that already has enough issues if you have darker skin color. And so, you know, having to deal with all of that, but to really have received the gift of those mentors and get the stamp of the Fulbright scholarship that definitely helped accelerate your work in the world. But also, I just want to honor you for having the mindset of understanding that what you went through prepared you for your work in the world. You and I are both huge fans of Arlen Hamilton, and she talks a lot about that lived experience in her book, It's About Damn Time, about how our lived experiences prepare us. And your lived experience is tragic and heartbreaking as it was. And I am so, so sorry you and your countrymen had to go through that. It has helped feed you and fuel you for your work in the world. So after you got your great education, you went and worked for the African Foundation, Innovation Foundation, and that helped you probably get an understanding of what innovation, as you said, looked like in the rest of the world versus our beautiful U.S., right? Or the West.
But what was interesting for me also, you know, working for the African Foundation, the way they're working in the UN, like UNESCO and the WHO, so going to the African Innovation Foundation with the mission of catalyzing innovation across African continent was quite a challenge for me, because one, I thought I had really good education. I was very well educated, but actually I have never learned about innovation and entrepreneurship in the context of Africa. Yeah. So whenever we talked about Africa in school, it was always about development, about aid, about, you know, charity. There was nothing about enabling local talent, like you know, the lady who was just having this innovation in healthcare. No way, this kind of case study didn't make it into my beautiful, schooling, right? So getting this opportunity actually to travel across the continent, meet local innovators who are creating the local challenges, but actually can solve global challenges, and realizing, actually, I also have a role to play, because right now, yes, I was born in Africa. I consider myself as a Pan-Africanist, but I'm also a global citizen. Yes. I'm one of the people who we joke about, we have passports that allow us to travel easily. Like a travel-friendly passports, meaning you get visas. You know, you probably, Andy, you don't know how to apply for a visa probably.
Oh, well, no, I actually do, but I just because I work with, my husband's on a 6th passport. He's had to travel around the world for his work, and people I've worked with have had to travel. So applying for a visa can be very tricky, but you have passports, for what? You're a citizen for 3 different countries, right?
I mean, it's a citizen in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the point is realizing how all those privileges that if you could look at what you have and what you can do with what you have, and then belonging in different world. I really spend time between different countries on the continent, and then in the US, in Europe, it gives me this perspective that when I zoom in, applying that perspective to trying to unlock the potential of my people, I feel equipped to do that. And also I speak few languages on the continent. So that also makes it easier for me to move around.
Absolutely. You and Trevor Noah, for crying out loud, from The Daily Show. He speaks all the African languages. He's amazing in that way. And yes, you're right. That makes you ideal for what you're doing. And I just love how all the parts and pieces have come together to give you the deeper understanding of how you can best pay it forward and serve the world through your work of understanding innovation on the African continent. And I really love that point that you made, Pauline, how so many people have charitable contributions, whether it's through Kiva or some of these wonderful platforms, but nobody was looking at these businesses as true investment opportunities. Like, who are building tech businesses? And I know, for example, in Nairobi, there's tons of incredible tech businesses that are happening left and right. You co-founded an organization called the Professional Women of African Heritage. Can you talk a little bit about the organization's mission and vision?
Yeah, so we actually founded PROA with the 2 other co-founders here in Switzerland, because we want to create a platform where the professional women of African heritage can really connect and leverage our global perspective. And also foster mentorship, leadership, and fellowship. And one of the reasons we did this was also realizing, like, Switzerland is not the most diverse country. And some of us, whenever we went somewhere, you would find yourself maybe just you or other people. Right. And you almost, people feel like you're the only one who's kind of doing well. And we wanted to show that actually, no, we have a lot of Black and brown people are doing amazing work. And so and this was before the whole hype around diversity and inclusion. And down the road was like, we are here, we're doing a really amazing work, but the power of connection means we can also leverage each other to really have a higher impact, and we continue to inspire ourselves and remember we can contribute where we are, but also we can contribute anywhere because we belong to different communities.
Ah, beautifully said. I love that. And so then you went on and you created this incredible fund and another organization. So let's talk a little bit about She Equity, and then we can also talk about AfriProspect, because I love what's going on with AfriProspect, that whole connection, et cetera, is so important. But you launched She Equity right near when the pandemic started, yes?
Yes. So I worked on the concept of she equity for about a year. So in essence, I was trying to figure out how to address the existing gender funding gap in Africa. And I wanted to see what else is there, because I'm not a fan of reinventing the wheel. I wanted to see, is there anyone trying to solve the problem? If there was, can I, you know, piggyback, join? And this, you know, to put things in perspective, Andy, this was after spending 8 years working across the continent, catalyzing innovation and meeting the amazing founders, you know, working with the government official, the researchers, the institutions, the innovators and ventures from the, you know, high-end research institution, but also from the garage, like the Juakari, if there are Swahili people listening. And realizing that the work is being done, what's missing is where the capital to grow and scale those innovations, but also showcase the rest of the world what African can create and how African should be seen as being a key player in solving challenges, not just receiving charity or aid. I realized down the road that women were not necessarily represented in many places. And not because they're not innovating, just because they were not making to finishing the line through because of the issues, challenges, and the biases they face, one of them being also access to capital. Why? Because the majority of capital locators, they don't look like me. So they, you know, you probably have heard of what they call like, you know, affinity bias, which means like it look like me. I'm probably going to be prone to understand what you mean and I can guess what you mean, but also I'll ask you the right questions. When women go to pitch to, you know, men who this probably don't understand, or somehow, because of their existing affinity bias, they ask them questions that almost like what they call like limiting belief. So if we lead to women to finish pitching with conversation without really getting to the point to show how amazing they are, how the business they're building is gonna generate profit and have impact on people on the planet. Why the male counterpart will be asked questions about, hey, what's the market traction? How many new customers you have? So they can be able to demonstrate how the business is. So that, lack of diversity in capital locators meant that women are starting businesses, but might not be able to grow them and scale them. So therefore they will not be visible. So I love Arlene's book. She talks about how women are underestimated, especially Black and brown women are underestimated and underfunded. On African continent, people talk about how African women are over-mentored and underfunded, and of course, underestimated as well. So She Equity for me was set up after doing a research again to understand like this kind of business was needed. And also realizing that I had what it take, including the network, to actually deliver on the promise I'm making to my, investors. And the board vision was really to contribute towards closing the existing gender funding gap, which is $42 billion in Africa right now.
Wow. And may I just say, Pauline, you are singing our song. All women are like, oh, yeah. Here in the U.S., no different. Okay. You'd think that we would have progressed things along a little more. Nope. It's a meritocracy, not a meritocracy. And women are up against the same challenges, and it will not change until women who look like you are writing the checks for women who look like you.
Yeah.
It's just, there's just, that is what, and it has to be the big checks. We need to get the big capital into these funds and write the big hefty checks for these female founders. So I find it fascinating that what we're dealing with here in the US, of course, is what everyone is dealing with around the world in as female founders getting funded. And so I want to bring up a comment from Zanel. Zanelle, I apologize for not pronouncing your beautiful name correctly. She says, so much innovation in Africa and it's ripe for global reach and expansion. It's encouraging to have people like Pauline who is driving this from a gender lens.
But you know, Andy, what happens is when people like me start small, writing those checks.
Yes.
You know, bigger vision of writing bigger, you know, check, but also bringing, making sure that we are connecting with other women who are also writing checks. Down the road, we believe this will show also those with, you know, gender lens bias to realize they're missing out, which is true. Actually, they're missing out. But they don't know. So one of my, let's say, offering to, you know, which is behind why I do what I do, is to demonstrate to other, you know, capital allocators that actually they're missing out by not investing in women. Because the research show when you give $1 to a woman, they give you at least $2.5 back. You know, in the context of Africa, women reinvest 90%. Of the revenue in the sector that benefit the society and the community, comparing it to 40% for men. So if you are an impact-driven investor, we know a lot of investors say I'm impact, but sometimes when you dig deeper, you don't really see the difference. If you truly want to have an impact, the best bet is really to back a woman, because they will give you back your money, they will multiply your money, they give you profit, and then contribute to people on the planet the highest way. So that's what CFIT is about, to demonstrate. You're missing out. Join us.
That's right. And you brought up a really good point. FOMO, everybody. Remember, you know, the buying decision is emotional, no matter what people say about crunching numbers, et cetera. You have to appeal on that emotional level to get the money in the door. And so creating that, like, what you've got to back women if you really want to get the returns you're looking for with your fund. But also you brought up something else that was very important, which is this visibility challenge. And, you know, women step more into their authority as founders. And as Abby Wabak says, you know, give me the ball in soccer. You know, you need to say, give me the money. And that money is not like, do you mind please give me the money? As if it's a handout. It's not a handout. They are getting equity in your business. You have so much value in your business, female founders, that these investors, frankly, are lucky to be along for the ride no matter what happens. Okay. And Pauline, those numbers in Africa are amazing. Tell us a little bit more about 90% of women, female founders reinvest. Talk a little bit more about that, please.
It's actually the statistics are amazing, and you wonder why people are not running into bad female founders. Seriously, because again, so some other numbers, because I know we have a global audience, is also like the research showed that we could add $28 trillion to the world GDP by 2025. This is like 3 years from now.
It's around the corner.
We close the gender funding gap. If we have a gender equity, gender inequality is over. $28 trillion in 2025. In Africa, we're talking about $316 billion that could be added by 2025. Also, we close the existing gender funding gap. And ironically, so you know, probably have heard of the Sustainable Development Goals that all countries have signed up to say, we want to, be the healthy planet.
Yep.
We want to have a place where no one access to healthcare, food security, you name it. It's about 17 goals. And when you look at the kind of business women are creating in Africa, they create, solution exactly to solve those problems. And you're thinking, if governments could work with the private sector, the government have a role to play in the sense of having a neighboring environment, and then the private sector that wants to make money and have impact for people on the planet, team up.
Yeah.
We can achieve those goals. Like, in a few days, a few years, because the goal is 2030. But if we don't back women under, there's no way we're going to achieve those goals.
Absolutely. But getting that message across, Pauline, is what so many women are working on right now. Lolita Taub was on the show earlier this week, the 200th episode of the Startup Life Live Show, and she created a fund called Ganas Ventures in order to invest in LATAM companies. But also because, again, it's that whole check writing for people who look like her. And so having this shift, this paradigm shift is, you know, I don't understand why it's taking so long, but I think what you've hit on is the fear of missing out, because when you back a woman founder, you're going to get the results you need. And I think it's the initiative of backing women, female founders, so that you can reach this lofty goal in just 3 years is extraordinary. But how are we getting that visibility out? How are we getting that consistent message out? Boy, the media does a great job getting the message out about the guys getting all their money, especially the white guys. But how can female founders, Pauline, what do you think? What are your thoughts on how female founders can get more visibility of their traction? I know that we love to add wind. Other women like to say, look at this, yay, Forbes, and you know, wherever somebody got a raise, they raised, you know, 6 million, 12 million, and their business is exploding. Yes. What can we do for the women in Africa to get more visibility?
I think one is that, like, you inviting me on your show, it's amazing because I'm able to talk to your audience from around the globe. Hopefully they go back and look to, for example, on our website, they can see the kind of businesses we're backing. I have seen also in the audience, we have many other female founders who have joined in, who can probably connect and showcase what Africans are creating. Because one of the challenge about investing in Africa is also the perception, Andy. So the perceptions about risk in Africa are over-amplified, that for us, it's important to demonstrate, like, actually there's a difference between actual risk and the perceived risk. And so showing women who have made it, who are demonstrating how, yes, the risks are everywhere, but also risk mitigation are designed according to whatever you're doing in business. That's number one. The second is that we need to find more women. We need to find more women and make it that you see more women. It's not just having one here and one there, because there's a power of numbers.
Yes.
To find more women, we need more funds like She Equity. We need more people investing in funds like She Equity. And also, again, from people who want to create visibility on a platform such as yours, the ability to highlight those positive stories about innovators actually offering opportunity for people to make money and feel good should be really highlighted. Because when it comes to Africa, unfortunately, media tend to highlight all the troubles that you see here. But we have a trouble in the U.S. as well.
Oh my gosh, don't get
right. in Europe, but you don't see, when people are talking about Europe opportunity, you don't see just...
Well, you know, you're dealing with the perception that is so ancient at this point, you know, the third world perception for Africa, which is ridiculous, because the innovation that's coming out of that continent and the technology, and these are, we're talking climate saving technology, economy saving, humanity saving technologies that are making life more desirable and livable. It's extraordinary, and we have to change that perception.
So one of the you know, saying we have on the continent is that when it works in Africa, it works everywhere. Because an African innovator is basically innovating sometimes in an ecosystem that, you know, is mature as Silicon Valley. So which means that they try all the angles. So it's easier to take an innovation from Africa, make it work in Zurich, than taking one thing from Zurich.
Oh my.
And that's usually the reverse. And also one other thing is, Andy, as you probably know, Africa is the youngest continent, with somewhere around 75% of Africa are under the age of 30. And basically,
I had no idea.
Yeah, and in Africa, you find all kind of natural resources. You know, anything you name it, it's on the continent. And so Africa is the richest, you know, country, you know, continent in terms of natural resources, anything. Human resources, we have the number. We just need to now to invest in a human capital.
You're right.
It starts basically by investing for me in youth and women.
Yep.
And of course, as you know, like women represent 50% of the population globally. In Africa, it's the same. So if you back them, then you're really backing the right people to enable the continent to move forward.
Absolutely. I'm still chuckling over when it works in Africa, it'll work anywhere comment, Pauline.
Oh, that's true.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, this has just been phenomenal what you and how you're paying it forward. I'm going to keep that thread happening during our conversation. So when you're setting up this fund, I mean, this is a big deal to, as a female funder, to set up a fund that you're going to be using to invest in these African female owned businesses. Talk a little bit about your investment thesis for the fund. How are you bringing money into the fund? Let us know a little bit more about that. And we will, of course, all add wind to your sails.
Yeah. So our investment thesis is very simple. So we invest basically in female-led and owned businesses. We focus on an early stage. Why? Because we believe we need to build a pipeline for the private equity. And, you know, if you come in very early, and because also part of our strategy in investing, we combine cash and also technical support, and we connect also the company we invested in with our networks to help them grow and scale, which, by the way, for us, that's basically taking an ecosystem approach to investing, which in general, that's what you need when you're investing in ecosystems where, you know, and not everything is functioning as 100%.
Right.
So we invest across different sectors, but we focus on female-owned and led businesses. Why? Because we want to build wealth for women, not because they're just women, because we know that they're a key driver of socioeconomic, you know, growth of any country.
Right.
But also, as I mentioned, they actually give you back your money, multiply plus impact on people on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's what Share Equity is about.
See, and that's a beautiful, beautiful mission and vision for your organization. And folks, just like you, a founder, you have to prove your product market fit, your founder market fit. Pauline has done that. She's proven through her lived experience up to this point that she is ideally and uniquely qualified for managing a fund like this, for identifying, I mean, 20 years experience in the space of innovation in Africa. Pauline, you have been learning and growing and deepening your understanding for this lane, for this category. And now, you know, for those who fund funds, She Equity is ideal for this level of effort. And are you seeking funders for your fund in the US, in Europe, in Asia? I mean, how are you going about that?
Yeah, so thanks for asking. We're now raising our second investment vehicle, so raising $25 million. So we can be able to invest in more women on the African continent. And we have no barrier to where the investment is coming from, as long as there's a mission and vision alignment.
Right.
So the same way we talk about providing smart money to the female we invest, we also look for smart money. And so what we mean by that, it's basically money that comes from someone who align in a vision and mission, but also who's willing to come in and you know, in essence, enable and play a role if they have a time to bring their network in. Because I come from a, you know, different cultures were also believing this concept of the fact that it takes a village, right? So we're looking for investors who are willing also to bring their network to support not just SheEquity, but also to support, connect the founders we are investing in, because we are VC investors. As VC investors, when we invest in a startup, we want to make sure that we can support them to grow. And we know supporting to grow is beyond giving the cash. So we are now basically raising, and the minimum ticket is $100,000 to invest in the SheEquity.
Great.
And of course, that's the minimum.
No, that's perfect. And because you're approaching LPs, and you want them to be in alignment with your mission, and you want them to have some folks that are in their group that can also add value through mentorship. Being on the board is important. Things like that to help these founders scale their businesses and create the revenue that they richly deserve, as do you for taking the risk and investing in them. But you mitigate the risk, Pauline, because of your deep understanding of the dynamics. There are plenty of people who love the idea of investing in African female founders, but they don't know enough about the continent, how things move. That's where you come in. And that's why I'm so excited about what you're doing with SheEquity, and how I am confident that the return for investors will be there, but also the return for society, for the planet will be there, and for the GDP of Africa will be there. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And we got a great question here from Zanel. What is SheEquity's minimum investment check size into female-led startups? Love that question. That's one of my questions that I always say, ask investors, and the turnaround time too. I'll throw that in.
Yeah, so we have done on average around $50,000. Moving forward, we basically planning to be investing from like seed to Series A's. So the investment amount will be depending on where the company is, but so far we have not reached less than $50,000 check.
So okay.
Yeah.
So, and what was the minimum check size? I didn't hear it. I am so sorry.
$50,000. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for asking that. And yes, Richard, power in community, it does take a village. And by pulling the village together, Pauline, you are helping so many female founders where they need it most, which is in the oxygen of their business. It's one thing to cheer them on, but it's a lot more when you give them the capital. And so you have also Afri Prospect. Does that help funnel and give you more female-led founders that you can work with? What prompted you to found Afri Prospect?
So Afri Prospect is basically focusing on both innovators, whether they are male or female. And actually, structurally speaking, Afri Prospect is the one that I use to launch SheEquity in terms of hierarchy. Because Afri Prospect vision is really to unlock the potential of African entrepreneurs and innovators, where they are female and male. So under Afri Prospect, we can support any innovator wanting to connect with the global market, or anyone from the other side wanting to do business in Africa. And then with SheEquity, we zoom in and only focus on female founders.
This is so important, folks, because maybe you're scaling just fine in your own geographical location, but it's a completely different experience. So for example, I mentored an Italian startup out of Milan, and when they pitch, they have to use every word. Okay. And so when you pitch in the US, it's like hardly any words are used. So, even little things like that, when you want to, let alone making the connections to expand in another region, expand in the EU, expand in Latin America, expand in Asia, you have to understand how that culture works and how to bring your product to market. So I just love that you're doing it for both ways, how folks can, expand outside of Africa. And hey, you want to expand here in Africa? Afri Prospect is perfect. So for folks thinking about, approaching you and asking for funds and pitching for you, you know, what advice do you have for those female founders that you've seen that would really help them seeking funding from an impact fund like yours?
I think the first one is really to, you know, make sure that you are investment ready, and being investment ready is to understand what you're looking for. So there are different programs, like the one we run, SHIBA, Share Equity Business Accelerator, which is exactly focusing on supporting female founders thinking about raising to actually understand the investors' expectations, but also the commitment once you say, hey, I'm going to take money from a VC investor. And the second part is really looking at the structure that you have. Because sometimes you might be set up in a country where maybe you can't, with the structure you have, you can't really take on an American investor because that's the type of structure you have. And the other thing is really realizing that the moment you have an investor into your portfolio, as a part of your stakeholders, you will be ready to report. Because I've seen also, founders that want to get the money, but they don't want to take the responsibility that comes with taking someone else's money. And that can lead to you having a problem with, you know, your investors. And they, especially in Africa, it's a small world. If you go and you don't deliver with one investor, other investor will know.
Right.
I guess the last things I will say is, also just know what you're worth. You know, remember when you go to pitch, when you're talking to people, yes, you're looking for money, but you're offering an opportunity. You're not begging. You're not asking for help. So that attitude where you're saying, hey, I have a value for you. Are you willing to pay value? We allow you to negotiate for yourself.
Wonderful. Outstanding. I'm having an Andy-licious moment. Everything you said, Pauline, times a thousand. Folks, that governance, that's what Pauline was talking about. When you communicate to your investors, just implement it into your systems and procedures. Choose a date per month or let them know you're going to be updating them quarterly. Be very clear. Manage up with your investors, all right? Be very clear on your communication, but do not ghost them ever. And make sure that they understand that you're very busy building a business and that you want to give them the information they need, but that you are in charge of when you deliver that information. Just put it in the calendar and make it happen. And also, we cannot stress this enough or emphasize this enough, right, Pauline? Know your worth. You have worked your tail off to bring this product to market. No one's going to steal your idea because, gosh darn it, it took you a long time to make it happen. You now have domain authority with your product. You have your community, you have customers, you have products, you have everything. So know your worth and the value of the fact that you turned your idea into reality. Pauline, I love that, something fierce. And Zanel did ask, what is the turnaround time? You know, every investor has a different turnaround time. So once they meet with you and they go, okay, yes. Well, yeah. What does yes mean? You're going to get the check next week, next month, next quarter. You know, so what is the typical turnaround time for your fund?
So we'll say between 3 to 6 months on average, because again, it depends on how ready you are. So when we're coming into a round where there are other investors, or maybe it's not your first check that you're getting, we realize usually we take shorter time because most of the due diligence would have been done. So it's another layer of due diligence. But if we are your first investor and we need to go and talk to many people, help you structure, look at your governance, look at your finances, and make sure that everything is ready before we can take it to our investment committee. So I think it depends on how much also you work faster in terms of the question we pose to you. And, as any other investor, you want to close the deal as fast as possible, but you want to make sure that you have addressed all the risks that are there. So if you help us, spot the risk and show us the risk mitigation, then it goes faster.
This is great. And this is why, folks, you want to work with a company like Scroobius and places like that help you get into position. for and get you investor ready. What Pauline's talking about is so important. Yes, you need the capital, but what does that look like and what does that mean? And really understanding how investors think, because your job is to find an aligned investor, but also to make sure that your baby is all packaged up and got the right outfit on for the investors. Pauline, this is such a great conversation. So what does success look like for you at this point in time? What would have to happen to have you feel like, wow, this is what we're talking about when we say impactful investment?
It's actually funny because I celebrate successes as I go, you know.
Yay. Oh, that's perfect. Talk more about that, because that's so important.
Champagne, I reached this milestone, you know. So for me, success is not a destination, it's a journey, you know. So I set up Shea Equity to deliver impact. So any milestone I achieve, like, for example, we started with my own capital, and then I was able to raise more money from other, you know, investor who trusted what I have done because of the track record. The first time I got a first investor into the fund, I celebrated, because for me that was a validation, right?
Right.
And then I got a few ones, and now we have invested. Every time I do a deal, I celebrate, because that's a confirmation that, yes, when people tell me, oh, where can you find the founders? I'm like, here they are. I keep finding them. They're amazing. When a founder I invested in has a milestone, I celebrate that. So for me,
listen, I want to go hang out with you, Pauline, because you really know how to celebrate. And you're absolutely right. You've got to, folks, look at any little thing. Don't set yourself up for non-celebratory moments. Set yourself up with, I got up today. Yay.
But also that's one of the things that, for me, one of the things I have learned on the journey that got me here is also the power of gratitude. Yes. So I spend the time to realize how lucky I am to be where I am, how privileged I am. And sure enough, every day there's something that is worth realizing this is a success, because even when there is a setback, I have learned to pause and think in terms of what did I learn and how do I move forward.
Exactly.
So
every setback is informing you, folks, of what you want or don't want. So, yeah, exactly. And I love this comment. Wonderful delivery, Pauline. And I, Cozy, you know, I'm not sure on the pronunciation, but I'm so happy you're tuned in. And thank you for cheering on our wonderful Shea Equity founder, Pauline Coble. So as we wrap things up, how has this journey served you? I mean, how is this journey now, you know, since creating the fund and all, how has this served you both personally and professionally, Pauline?
So I really feel full. So the journey has led me to realize my dream. Like right now, I'm really doing something that I feel I'm good at, that I love doing, I'm passionate about. And I think I'm building wealth for myself and for my investors and for the company we invest in. And because one of my motivations is really to pay it forward and also have an impact, I am happy. I'm happy with what I'm doing. It's hard. For sure, it's hard. Don't think it's a walk in the park. But also my life hasn't been easy. So, you know, from the hardship I went through, this is a walk in the park. And luckily, I really have an amazing network. I don't want to leave without forgetting to thank the advisor I have on Shea Equity Afri Prospect, my professors that have led me here. Chosi, by the way, thank you, Chosi. We went to the same school, the number one school in international development. We studied with Chosi, so I'm glad you took him.
Hi, Chosi. Oh, that's wonderful news.
Years ago, you know. Professionally, I am basically, you know, building a business that generates profit and impact on people on the planet. That's what I wanted. I have a track record that demonstrated this is a reality now. Before it was a dream, now it's a reality, and that, you know, I just need to raise this additional 25 million so I can even amplify the reality and keep celebrating. And on a personal note, again, I'm really full. I'm happy. Yeah.
And, you know, I love how we've come full circle in the conversation, which is your dream was to pay it forward because of the deep gratitude you feel for the folks who helped you during a heartbreaking time and filled with high uncertainty and hardship for you. They came to you for who knows why you, right? But they did and blessed your life. And now you are able to bless others forward and give to them, you know, through capital infusion, through mentorship, through opportunity, through networking and wonderful conversations like this. I'm, you know, just so grateful that you took this innate talent of yours and you educated, you got the education you need and needed and the network that you needed. And you're doing such remarkable work in the world. I feel your fullness. I feel your gratitude. And I celebrate you, Pauline, 100%. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on the show. Thank you for adding your glow and your purpose and your mission through She Equity. May you continue to prosper everywhere you glow.
Thank you.
Great. Any final words before I pop you into the green room?
No, I just wanted to say thank you again for having me. Thanks to Victoria for connecting us and for folks out there. Investing in women is a smart business. So join me. Let's go and make money and change the world.
I love that. Investing in women is smart business. Let's get together and change, make money and change the world. Yes, I love that. Pauline, I'm just going to pop you into the green room and wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for everyone who tuned in to this delicious and meaningful conversation with a woman who is changing lives and the GDP and generational wealth everywhere she glows. And speaking of changing lives, let me tell you who's coming up next on the Startup Life Live show. It's the wonderful Caroline Winnett. She's the executive director of one of the world's largest leading accelerator programs and a global hub for entrepreneurship, Berkeley Skydeck, founded by UC Berkeley students, alumni, and faculty who were seeking to bring their scientific and technical discoveries to market. This program is ranked second to Stanford in producing venture capital-backed entrepreneurs. And Caroline is a serial entrepreneur, civic activist, angel investor, advisor, and board member of several startups. So we've got another great, delicious conversation happening on Tuesday, November 15th at 12 p.m. ET. I'm so grateful you came and enjoyed the live show, the replay, the podcast. Please go and follow Pauline everywhere she glows. All the links are in the show notes. We need to keep adding wind to sails of women who are funding women, right? We are going to change the numbers on the capital raise for female founders, one investment at a time. Until next time, don't forget, join the Startup Life Live meetup group so you get an announcement whenever we go live and you can do a deep dive in each of the guests and their backgrounds. And until then, I'm cheering you on and wishing you a delicious day everywhere you glow. Thanks again for tuning in. Mwahs from Boston. Cheers.